most states have something like this now. And so if you apply that Homestead Act and give a 35% discount, that home that was $400,000 in value, you can now discount to $260,000.
Do a lot of people know about that?
I've been out there telling people.
So this was a conversation we had maybe a few weeks back with Stratford's mayor, David Chess. And what he's talking about at that time was this idea. He had proposed adopting the Connecticut Homestead Exemption Act to mitigate the sharp residential property tax hikes that were caused by all those 2025 revals. And what's interesting is, so Stratford did not end up going through with it, mostly because they had to drop it because of the time frame. They just, they didn't have, first of all, enough people who could actually handle the inquiry of so many who would probably apply for this. Again, the law would allow towns to deflate owner-occupied home assessments by up to 35%. So it was a huge deal. But between the time frame of getting it in and also the amount of people who'd have to process them, it wasn't going to work for Stratford. But it kind of led me to say, wait a minute, just what I said to David Chess, do a lot of people know about this? Why is there only one town in the state of Connecticut effectively doing this? And if people are finding out about it, it seems like it's too little, too late. And that was Stratford's case. So immediately, who do I go to? I go to our housing expert on the show. I reached out to Renee Dovis of Connecticut Housing Partners. And I'm like, Renee, do you know what this is? And even Renee's like, yeah, I'll get back to you. So Renee is here because I have to understand this. With the revals that came out at the end of 2025, really the fall, we knew people were going to get crushed. They were going to get totally destroyed by this. And I'm so surprised that we don't have more knowledge about it. So I didn't know if you could kind of weigh in and just talk about it a little bit.
Good morning, everyone. Yeah, nobody knows about it. And I think the municipalities don't want anyone to know about it because, you know, there would be probably a lot of pressure to put forward. But I have the statute here in my hand. I don't know where the 35% comes from because it says it's amended to establish a property tax exemption of $50,000 of the assessed value of owner-occupied single-family dwellings. And if I assume an assessment rate of, say, 0.30, which, you know, is average across the state of Connecticut, 50,000 divided by 1,000 times the 0.30, that's about a $1,000 abatement per household, which is not insignificant. $1,000 is a lot of money. And maybe if you take that $1,000 divided by the amount of tax that you pay, maybe that's where you get to the 35%. I'm not quite sure, but it is capped at $50,000. I think it's a good thing. I think it will really help households if everybody knows about it, because we're all getting crushed in property taxes. And, you know, it seems like a lot of municipalities are unabated in their budgets. They keep raising their budgets every year. I mean, even in my community, we're going through a budget referendum right now, and it just escalates annually. It's like, you got to cut costs. You know, businesses have to cut costs. Why can't municipalities cut costs? So I think we need to put the cry out, and I think, you know, more people need to know about it and put pressure on the municipalities to adopt this.
Well, and even, I have to be honest, Renee, and maybe you have better, you know, intel than I do, but first of all, to your point, I don't know why this is sort of like this hidden secret. I guess that is what a secret is, whatever. I don't know why this is a secret. I don't know why more people aren't talking about this. But the other thing, too, was even the deadline. So this idea of, well, we've got to get this in by, I want to say it was early June. And I thought to myself, why? I don't understand. I don't know. The whole thing to me was very, well, you could hear it when I'm talking to David Chess. And by the way, for those of you at home who missed that interview, you should go back and listen to it. Although it's going to be outdated because Stratford ended up dropping this idea. But when I interviewed him last month about this, you can hear the confusion. I'm like, wait a second. You've got a silver bullet and nobody's talking about it except for one town in Connecticut. Why? I don't know. It's just wild to me. I don't get it.
It is wild. And I don't understand it either. And you're doing the good work of letting everybody know about it. And, you know, I applaud the mayor of Stratford. You know, he's trying to come up with some solutions for his community because he recognizes that his community is getting crushed. And, you know, it's really unfortunate. And the other thing that's frustrating is a lot of these assessment companies that are coming in to do these local assessments, they're all from out of state. And even the assessment that I went through for my own personal home, I thought it was outrageously high. And I had to go down to my little town hall and fight them. And what I did was, you know, they put an assessed value of my home at a certain dollar value. I printed out for the past year every home that sold in my community, and very similar to my home, and not one of them sold over what they assessed it at. And so when I confronted the municipality, they only reduced my assessment by $25,000. So it's such an uphill battle all the time. You know, it just doesn't seem to be fair and transparent. And even though you have an opportunity to try to combat what they've assessed, you really have to spend a lot of money. You have to go out and pay someone to assess your property to be able to have that evaluation at hand to be able to go to your assessor to fight it. And that shouldn't be. You shouldn't have to spend money to fight it.
Yeah. So I don't know, Renee, in any of your research that you were doing once I bugged you with this, which, by the way, I always appreciate that I have you in my back pocket because I'm like, wait a minute, what? Am I missing something? In your research doing this, I mean, can towns still effectively put this into place or no? Is there kind of this like time cap where they can't do it for this year, this fiscal year?
I think there is the time cap and they can't do it for this fiscal year.
That's such a shame. Because I think that the revals happen at such a, quite frankly, at such a political time where, you know, there were major offices obviously up for grabs at the local level, first selectman and mayoral races. And I think housing and the revals and taxes has been that all I thought those were such huge campaign issues, even though it really didn't tie, honestly, to those campaigns, because the revals just sort of happened. They were happening regardless, and we knew that they didn't look good, because I can remember even in October, a Fairfield, for whatever reason, stands out to me, probably because my parents were mad about it. But the revals came out, and I remember being like, oh, man, the timing of this is not great. And at the time, there was no election in Fairfield. But I remember thinking, oh, man, the timing of that is not great, because whoever is in office is going to get blamed, and whoever is getting into office is going to, you know, have to deal with how to fix that up. So, we've known about this, I think, since October, November, quite frankly. And the fact is if we've run out of time, that's a huge fail. That we didn't even explore that at the local levels. I think that's a huge fail and something that people in your towns and cities should be mad about. At least even having the conversation. And maybe they did, but I'm not hearing anyone even know what this is about.
No, really, honestly, nobody does.
That's a
fail.
They
really don't.
That's a real fail. Yes. That's a real fail.
Yes.
Renee Dobas is here. She is our housing expert on the show, but also is Connecticut Housing Partners. And we do monthly check-ins with Renee, and thank God for that. You were just in Washington, D.C. with NeighborWorks.
Yes, I was.
That's awesome. Renee, tell me, what's going on?
So Connecticut Housing Partners is a chartered member of NeighborWorks. It's like a good housekeeping seal of approval. There's only about 250 of us in the United States. And we went to the Capitol Hill. We met with Jim Himes' office, Larson's office, Blumenthal's office, and Murphy's office. And NeighborWorks is congressionally funded by Congress. And so they've been having flat funding for many years now at about $165 million. And the ask was for $185 million. All of the Congress members that we met with, they are very supportive of NeighborWorks. They understand the work that we do, and they also understand the leveraging of dollars. So, for instance, you know, for every dollar that it flows through NeighborWorks, we're able to leverage that 77 times through local funding sources and through state funding sources and things like that. So they were all very supportive, which is, you know, not unusual because all of our Congress people in Connecticut are Democrats. So typically Democrats are very supportive of NeighborWorks. And they know what NeighborWorks is doing because every quarter, all of us have to provide all of this detailed data to NeighborWorks, who then provides that data to Congress. So they're very aware of what we do. And they think it's very important work. And as you know, the T-HUD just put through a bill that they're trying to increase affordable housing throughout the United States, because the shortage is about 4 million across the country. Even though we're feeling it locally, we feel that there was a study by Partnership for Strong Communities that had indicated that Connecticut has a shortage of over 300,000 units of all kinds of housing, whether it be single family home or apartment, something like that. And with a state of only 3.5 million people, that's a huge percentage. So it's really becoming critical, and our workforce is actually suffering from the lack of affordable housing. And as a little side note, I was having a conversation with one of our employees at Connecticut Housing Partners, and he's a young man with a young family, and he was trying to buy his first home, and he was looking in the Milford area because it was close to where we are in Trumbull. And he said, Renee, I just could not afford anything. Everything was over $500,000 in Milford. And so he ended up buying a home in Portland, Connecticut. And he said it was built in the 1800s. It's a fixer-upper. And now he's an hour and a half away from his workplace. So I was talking to him about it because we have an opportunity where we're building some other housing. And he wanted to have a transfer so that he could work more close to where he lives because of the travel. So we're able to accommodate him. But I think his story is a very typical story. And so that's why it's so critical to keep it at the forefront, not only locally with our politicians, but also nationally, because we can't let our foot off the gas. We just can't.
The other thing too, Renee, that I didn't tell you we were going to talk about this, but it's connected to what you're talking about, is I had a conversation this week, ironically, with a local leader in Fairfield County about affordable housing and creating more housing opportunities and all of that. And he brought something up that actually I went, huh, that would have actually changed where I ended up going. And it sort of relates a little bit back to what your colleague went through. So he was saying we have some of the best transportation options in Fairfield County, for example. And we talk about this, you know, the importance of having, you know, bus transportation, really the trains, but certainly highways, mm-hmm. right? So we have all of that in Fairfield County. And it's a huge reason why people want to live there, because you can, you know, get to and from where you need to be. You have so many options, so on and so forth. But it's insanely expensive and the housing options are not too great, so on and so forth. So it made me think, though, that I'm not saying we shouldn't create more housing. That's not what I'm saying. But I do think we don't talk enough about transportation options. So if you take, I'm going to use our family, for example, when we moved back from Vermont, and I was born and raised in Connecticut, but my husband and I on and off lived in Vermont for 10 years. When we moved back here, and this was before the pandemic, we struggled with finding housing, not even so much for the amount, because at that time it was pre-pandemic, so it wasn't as bad as it is now. But just the housing inventory was very low, at least in Fairfield County and lower New Haven County. It was very, very low. And we were looking at places like Litchfield County. We were looking at places that are not, you know, directly on I-95, the Merritt Parkway, I-91. And we loved them and we could afford them. They were reasonable. They, you know, we could, you know, all that. It was the commute, to your point. It was the commute. It was the not having direct access. It was the idea of, you know, if it snows for 3 months straight, how are we getting to and from the office? I can't drive an hour and a half in snow to get in at 3 o'clock in the morning for a radio station. You know, so these were the conversations we were having. And I'm wondering what your thoughts are if we focus enough on creating more ways to, for the transportation to get people to it. Because I'm going to be honest with you, Renee. If there was I'm serious. If there was a train that would have figured out, I don't know how you connect like a Litchfield County, for example, to New Haven County. But to me, if there was a way that I would absolutely hop on a 3:30, a 4 a.m. train, I would have totally done that. I would have moved to Litchfield County and done a 45-minute commute into the train station to get to the radio station every day. I would have totally done it. I really would have. But to get in the car for an extra hour a day to drive to and from here was just, there's no way. Because I could prep on the train. I could work on my news on the train. I don't know. And maybe that's kind of a pipe dream. But do you think, you know, and especially when you look at the upper corners of Connecticut and there's beautiful inventory and affordable, more reasonable. Do you think that we focus enough on the transportation aspect of affordable housing options in Connecticut?
No, I don't think we do focus on it enough. And And really, the trains can only, like you said, it only takes you to certain places. It's not as if, you know, we can traverse the entire state of Connecticut on a train. If we could expand on train access, that would be amazing. I have to tell you, when I was in D.C., we used the underground train station that they have there. It is so modern, so fast, so convenient. It was amazing. And, you know, yes, we have train, but it's really not modern. And we need to modernize it, and we need to make it faster. You know, we have the Acela that leaves out of New Haven, but the train tracks are such that the Acela can't get to its high speed until I think it gets past Jersey. You know what I mean? Something like that. So there needs to be an investment in that kind of infrastructure. And I agree with you. If there was that investment, it would be a lot easier for people to move around.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm sure it's pipe dream. And obviously, we need it now. I'm not saying that we don't need to create more inventory now. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I think it is part of the conversation. Because like I said, I know that we're trying to create more opportunity. But I always look back at, look, I grew up in Fairfield County. I do get the perks of it. But I also have traveled to other parts of the state of Connecticut where I would not mind living there. But maybe man, if you're going to tell me I've got to travel an hour and a half, and I got to drive it, but now that means I've got to get to work an hour earlier because of the distance. I mean, that is probably one of the biggest reasons why people want to live in certain areas of the state because of that transportation element. I don't know. So I just wanted to get your take on it, because I feel like we don't talk about that enough, not you and me. But I feel like when the state talks about affordable housing and all of that and let's create opportunity and inventory, let's do it. But I also noticed there are pockets of Connecticut where there are houses available. There are opportunities available. No one wants to live there, though, because unless they can work remotely or they work on a farm, they're not getting to the jobs they need to in New Haven County, Hartford County, Fairfield County, New London County, what have you.
Right, exactly. Even myself, my commute is 45 minutes. You know, even myself, I don't live in Fairfield County. I live in New Haven County. And, you know, I have to commute to get to where I need to go. But I have the option, like, say, for instance, a snowstorm, I could work from home. But there's certain jobs, such as nursing and teaching and your job, that's not an option.
Not an option.
You know, you have to, exactly. You have to make it into the studio. So, it can benefit some people and other people it doesn't benefit.
Yeah, I just think it would, like I said, I think about that all the time because we saw some just for kicks. My husband and I, just to even get a break sometimes, it was like, you know, a newborn baby and my parents loved having the baby. And we're like, all right, yeah, let's go look at this house in Litchfield County that we're never going to buy. But we're like, oh, this is reasonable. We can actually afford this. This is fantastic. More bang for our buck. This is great. And then my husband's like, you're going to drive in the snow for an hour? You're going to do that to drive? And I'm like, nope, we're not. And so it totally eliminated even any chance of it. And honestly, not that I don't love living in Milford. I do. But I absolutely, you could have sold me on getting out of the very populated, dense areas like a Fairfield County or a New Haven County to go to one of these other counties if I had a way to get to work. I'm telling you, I would have done it, you know? So I don't know. Yeah. I just wanted to see what you thought about that.
No, I absolutely agree with you. There needs to be an investment in our infrastructure, even on the highways. I mean, it's, you know, they're so congested at times that it's so difficult to get around, and it's very frustrating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, we need flying cars.
You're like, you know what? Now we got to get up in the air. That's what we need to do. I just think it is part of the conversation that I just don't hear enough about relating back to housing. We certainly hear about it for infrastructure needs and all of that and the congestion on 95. Like, we hear about that and safety and concerns, but we don't ever link it back to housing, at least at the state level. I don't hear it as much as I'd like to. So I appreciate you letting me get on my soapbox to talk about it today. I do, Renee. I appreciate you.
Anytime. Okay.
You're the best, Renee. Thank you so much. And of course, if you want to learn more about Connecticut Housing Partners and the work that they do, we will link it to Renee's podcast on our website, voiceofct.com. Renee, thank you for always giving us the time and for doing especially research on the Homestead Act. That fascinated me. I appreciate you.
No problem. Have a great day, everyone.
Thanks. You too. Renee Dobas here on WICC.